Yeah, if e-commerce is a side project for you, I think so. If it's your focus, I think Shopify all the way.
Well, I would disagree completely. All right, it's time for the Growth Show. Today, we're going to be talking about ways to find communities that you can use to grow your business. And we're going to do our periodic Tools We Use show. So we're going to talk about all the tools we're using to grow, manage, and handle all of the stuff we have to handle as business owners. And we're going to talk about a tool that you might need today.
Oftentimes, it's the ones that are successful loved what they did so they could persevere when it got really tough. And the ones that didn't love it, quit.
I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Welcome to the most indispensable show for people doing the hard work of growing your business. It's the marketing podcast by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs. Welcome to Grow the Dream.
All right, welcome to the Growth Show, episode 10. David Johnson here, and we're glad you're listening, along with my partners in crime and caffeine-consuming co-hosts, Rod Thompson, 30-year veteran journalist, messaging guru. Rod, good to have you today.
It's always good to be here.
It's always good to have you. And Josh Muccio, the kid, the tech wizard, wearing a hat with a heart and a wrench.
Yeah, it's my old company, iHeartRepair.
iHeartRepair. I got it.
Ah, it's got a wrench and a nut and a...
Thank you, Rod.
Yes. I like that.
You are a messaging genius. You get these things. What is your deal?
I like it. And every time I see this shirt, I keep thinking like it's not the Transformers.
No, it's Iron Man.
It's Iron Man, but I just
I'm all over it.
I don't know. I don't know why. I just always think like maybe.
Okay, so today, the David Johnson's going to be the old guy that's out of everything and clueless.
Yeah. I need more caffeine. Speaking of caffeine.
It's those eight kids you have there, Ron.
That's what does it. Yes.
You must have to wake up
yes,
early.
We
in
have
the
a brew of the day.
We do. Today's brew is from Left Roasters. This is interesting. My nephew sent this over, and so big shout out to my nephew Nathan for supplying us with the roast for today. But he was telling me about Left Roasters. It's actually operated by a record company.
You remind me of Ducky from NCIS. Everything reminds you of a story.
I've never seen that show.
Rod?
Is that a TV show?
Apparently.
Really?
Really?
I know. Actually, I know some of my older children like it, but I don't.
I mean, I know what the acronym is.
Our audience knows
what I'm talking about.
Yes, I don't watch TV very much, actually, hardly at all.
With eight kids? I mean, you know.
Yeah. I just don't.
If you agree with me that you think David Johnson is like Ducky, just come tell us.
Yes, message us.
Tweet at the David Johnson and tell me you sound like Ducky or you're wrong. Ducky, I don't know if I'm happy about that. I was once told I looked like Toonsis the cat, but that was a long time ago too. Humble Beast Records does coffee roasting, and we are actually consuming today a blend they call Santa Emilia. It's from El Salvador. This is a single source coffee. It's actually from the farm of Emilio Hamburger in El Salvador. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
I don't know. Their branding is really good. They just sent two stickers to us, just kind of like Apple puts their stickers in all their stuff.
Absolutely. Well, you're a record label. You got to do stickers. It's part of the deal.
Right.
And then they seem to be really focused on creating some community around their coffee. So this is a milder roast because we've been brewing a lot of dark roast around here because
dark roast is great.
And I've been sort of falling down on the job and haven't been roasting. So I've just been buying the Starbucks lately. So But this is good. I like it.
It does taste good. I feel mellow though. I'm not as hyper.
It is pretty
normal.
It's got a little nutty flavor to it.
No. My temperament.
Yes. You're talking about the caffeine level, right?
Yes.
You know, which actually, because it's a little bit of a lighter roast, it should have more caffeine in it. You know, it's right. It's actually a little known fact. Well, it's not little known among
my wife knows. She told me
coffee enthusiasts like us.
I'm learning it right now.
But
actually,
if the longer you roast coffee, the less caffeine remains in the bean, so that. Like when you brew an espresso, for example, it actually has less caffeine than...
What?
It's true. It's got a stronger flavor, but less caffeine.
Sweet.
Yeah. So a lot of the hyper-caffeinated sensation that people get from espresso is purely
it's in their head.
Psychosomatic.
Ah, that's the word.
Interesting.
All right, so today's show, in addition to brewing fun coffee today from Left Roaster, so big shout out to you guys, we are going to talk about the tools we use. Because you know what? Growing your business is not just about marketing and making noise and doing PR and SEO and all these other things. It's actually about running an efficient operation. Am I right?
Absolutely.
It is. Tools are interesting. Hey, you mentioned something a few minutes ago about community. I'm just curious because it's a topic that has come up in conversation for me a lot recently, and that's building a community as a way, or engaging with an existing community as a way to grow your business.
Yeah, excellent. So I've got a good friend by the name of Steve Burnett, who is one of the more brilliant marketers I've ever met in my life, actually. Yeah. I think I've mentioned him before because he's like the king of the visibility stunt. I'm not going to say publicity stunt, although he's maximized some publicity too. But one of the things that he did, so he had a painting contracting business, which he has since sold, did very well. But he had a business in Venice, Florida. Now, for those who are not from this area, we make fun of Venice as God's waiting room because
old people.
I mean, Florida as a state has historically kind of been God's waiting room, but Venice is like where the last, you know.
Yeah, the oldest of the old.
It's
yeah.
true. There are like 100 Italian restaurants in a community of, what's the size of Venice maybe in terms of population?
20,000.
20,000 people. Yeah, it's a small community. There's this little main street, and it's the most vibrant little main street you've ever seen in your life.
It's a nice little downtown
until about 6 p.m., and then it goes to sleep.
Completely.
Yeah. It's crazy. So here's what he did. He now, of course, he's painting contractor and he's selling painting. A lot of older people should be buying from him because he's selling in this community, right? So he went to the local library and started teaching a weekly iPad class, how to use your iPad. He built an enormous following for his iPad class because he took time to teach older people who are struggling to use their technology how to use their iPads. And I don't have the liberty, because I haven't asked him for permission, to talk about his closing rate on leads that he generated for painting out of that. But let's just say it was very high.
Well, so he identified a proper target market, and then he used an avenue that was right for the target market.
Yep, and it was a nonprofit thing. He didn't charge for the class.
Right.
He just
that in a sense was content marketing for himself.
It was excellent
old school content marketing.
That's right. Yeah, offline.
That's a great story.
Offline content. Yeah. But his closing rate was enormous out of that, and of course, people at the trailer park bring their friend from the trailer park because you know Thelma doesn't know how to use her iPad either.
Right.
And so neither does Hazel, because
they network the old fashioned way.
Exactly. Yeah.
Over coffee on the porch.
So let's do another example just for the sake of helping people out. Let's say I'm just thinking of a handyman, because we haven't used that example. How would a regular old handyman connect with a community in his target audience? What would that community be? Where would he go to find it?
And to some degree, I think it would depend on the you know, part of the country and the city. Like the demographics of Venice, for example, like we just talked about, very different. But if you're a handyman and you're in, pick a city, what kind of city?
Pittsburgh.
He's in Pittsburgh.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it would work or not, because there'd be probably corporate issues. But even following on the concept that can he hold a little handyman class at the local Home Depot? You know, little tips that you can fix around the house. Say, look, here's how you change a light switch. Anybody can change a light switch. I know, because I change light switches. You know, first thing, turn the power off. But you know,
good
so,
tip.
Yeah. So
good
tip. So can he do something like that? Would that be a way to start some community around?
So
him?
He's in the DIY community that goes to Home Depot every weekend sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yep. You wouldn't do it to your local lumber place that's catering to contractors and stuff.
Because they would laugh you out of the
right. Yeah. Because that's not your target. But the people that do it yourself community is going to go to Home Depot on Saturday to get stuff and all. They might find
that's a
some
good
value.
Idea. How would he maybe engage with an existing community that's already out there? So let's say he didn't want to build his own, but an existing community where he could come in and help, and maybe in an unrelated way that doesn't have anything to do with his skill. But
so I think the DIY community, you could argue, probably already exists. So a handyman primarily is going to serve homeowners. Am I right? I mean, you don't normally hire a handyman if you're a renter.
Right.
So what kind of communities do homeowners have? They have their HOAs or country clubs, maybe a country club.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm actually just searching Meetup. .com for DIY meetups in Pittsburgh.
Hey, good tip.
I just had that DIY classes meetups in Pittsburgh.
So there you go.
That's good.
And if there isn't one already, you could start up start up a meetup.
Yeah.
And just start engaging with people there.
But don't be promotional about it. You just serve the community and help connect people and sort of that sort of stuff. So that's cool. I think the DIYers, that's a good example because we talked about this on our last show. The guy who serves that community, you could argue, well, wait a minute, the DIY people, they're the ones that are going to figure out how to do it rather than hire the handyman.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is, if he connects those people, he'll be the guy they call when they get over their head.
I was going to say, what happens with most DIY guys is they end up doing something that's, they get over their skis, so to speak. They end up doing something that's beyond their skill level and think, oh, crap. And so now they need to extricate themselves.
We'll segue into tools here.
Yeah. The social media, managing social media.
We've talked about these a little bit before.
Sure. We'll hit on them briefly because while, you know, it's right up the alley for what we do, maybe an awful lot of small companies are doing social media. And there are ways in which you can do social media that can be simplified and easier. You don't have to go to your Facebook page, the post. Excuse me, necessarily. You don't have to go to your Twitter account to post. You don't have to go to your LinkedIn account.
Like if people leave comments or whatever, you can interact or retweet or respond
or anything. What I use and what we use is Hootsuite, which is, I think, a fairly popular one. Mm-hmm. And Hootsuite, you know, allows you to manage all of those. And it gives you a nice you know, arrangement if you want. I mean, you know, you have columns, you have your stream for your various feeds, for the various social media sites that you use. And then you can tweet from it, you can do a Facebook post, you can do everything at one time here and then publish it to whatever pages, whatever social media sites that you use for your company that you want. It's a great time saver and ease. It shortens URLs for you, the whole thing.
It does link tracking. So if on the short URLs, you can tell if people click, which, you know, sadly,
it's got a full range of analytics.
I use Buffer
in it.
Yep.
You know,
I'm not super passionate about this one. I use Buffer.
Okay.
Yeah. I will queue up, you know, 4 or 5 posts, and it recommends to me the best times to post. So to me, I like it when it gives me less decisions. All I have to do is pick the content, and it posts it.
Does
for
it do
me.
Analytics for you and mm-hmm. it does. Reports
yeah.
and everything?
Yeah. And there's a free account, and then I think they call their premium account Awesome, if I remember right.
Okay.
So you can upgrade to Awesome when you. But with Hootsuite, Rod, you're using the paid account, right? It's like
yes.
$5 a month or
yeah,
$10 a month, whatever.
$10
a month. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I pay for 3 of our staff, so I think I'm at $15 a month now. Okay. I think I got like a package with 3 of us, but.
Right.
It's nice also for team management. So like if you're doing customer service at all on social media, which depending on the type of business you're in, you may have to be doing customer service on social. Otherwise, you're dropping the ball when people will reach out to you that way. And what's nice about the team aspect of Hootsuite is you can assign it to someone and say, all right, this one's on you to respond. And then you get reports from a management level. You get reports on whether people carried out the actions or not and all that sort of stuff. So I use both. I used to use TweetDeck. Anybody use TweetDeck ever? Love that.
Yeah.
It was acquired by Twitter along the way, but it's...
The only thing it stinks is it doesn't... Does it sync with other accounts? Like Hootsuite? I think it only manages your Twitter.
I think it was just for Twitter.
It was just for Twitter, and that's why I actually... Because I was using
that
before Hootsuite.
Yeah.
I dropped it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are other ways to do social, but those are all good. Now, when you're doing social media, invariably, if you're following, you know, the... best practices and all that sort of good stuff, you should be doing some graphics. So, Rod, what do you do to create graphics?
I use a Creative Cloud. It's Adobe's suite. And what I like about it, again, this is in the cloud. It's a monthly subscription service. So these are programs where like Photoshop is $600 to pay, you know, to...
If you bought it, yeah.
If you bought it, you know. So, I mean, I don't know why anybody would do that anymore. And that's actually, Adobe isn't even looking for that. They're not even looking
for that. It's pretty hard to buy
anymore.
Photoshop anymore. I've noticed. Like, I'm not sure if you can buy the latest version.
They're discouraging it.
Yeah, I mean, they really are. They want everybody to be on the monthly subscription and all. And that it seems like it's the future. But, you know,
you're the sucker who's on it.
I am the customer.
A sucker too.
Yep, uses that. Photoshop. It's got InDesign. It's got Illustrator. It's got Dreamweaver. These are all Dreamweaver so much, but those other three are completely industry standards in doing that. People are familiar with them. I know how to use them. It works great for clients. I don't have to change formats. It's a very good program for what we do, for whether you're designing brochures or whatever it might be.
Yeah, when you whip out social media graphics. So these days, you know, I'm a Photoshop user now. It's $50 a month,
$49.99.
Okay, but, yeah. So 50. And
but yeah, but no, this podcast people don't need that.
This podcast is actually produced on Adobe Audition, just for the record, which is the audio editor. And there's a video editor called Adobe Premiere Pro, which is also kind of an industry standard among people who are not using Final Cut, you know, for
Canva's free, and it's a lot easier to use. For and just it meets you, most people's needs.
If you just need graphics, Canva is great. I actually
they have an iPad app, you know, now.
I did. Yeah, I did know that.
So can you design trifold brochures in Canva?
No.
No. Well, that's what I'm talking about.
We're talking about social. You said social media.
I did.
No,
but
he moved on. He moved on to graphics and creative.
All of the above. So
Hire somebody for your brochures.
For graphics.
Okay.
For social media graphics, Canva is great. It's just, you just log in, create a free account. The way they make money, it's a freemium model, so you get free usage of all their tools. But then if you want stock images and stuff, they offer them to you right there in that moment, and right. There's a simple upsell for a buck or two or whatever it is for whatever you might need.
Or you can go to allthefreestock.com, like me, and get awesome free stock images.
And then you can upload whatever you need to into Canva and use it. I use a subscription for stock images from Big Stock. I don't actually have a subscription. I should back that up because we don't use enough images for the subscriptions to make sense. So we buy an image pack.
You guys like spending money.
Hey, you know what?
Only when needed.
I like the...
I am so cheap compared to you guys.
But really, I mean, because I understand what you're saying about Canva, but that's very limited for what I'm talking about here because we do brochures for people. And
sure.
That's why I keep saying that. We do print products.
And I do video for people. I mean, you know.
And so you've got to have...
You guys are freelancers.
Well, we basically are running a full service content agency, so I'm not a freelancer.
I understand why you guys use it. Okay. I just don't see why most of our audience needs to mess with that stuff.
So
even like Pablo for Buffer, easy way. You just put in your quote. If you're doing social media stuff, you put in your quote, and it gives you a bunch of really cool background images. You click the one you want, and it posts that quote with the backdrop behind it.
Yeah,
really cool.
So Pablo is kind of a competitor to Canva then.
It's more limited. It's more for like quotes on beautiful background images.
Okay, so simple stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
One other thing I was going to mention for graphics, that if you don't want to spend the money on using Photoshop or the Creative Cloud and you don't want to mess with a web-based tool like Canva, we actually train people to use GIMP, which is a free open source tool.
Available on Windows and Mac.
And Linux, which is what my daughter uses it on. So, yes.
You have geekified your daughter.
We should have her on the show.
Really?
And she's learning to develop her own Minecraft plugins in Java right now.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
I am thrilled. Yes, I am. Okay, so let's move on because we've already talked about a lot of creative stuff. So we're on the web. What are you guys using for websites?
Oh, yeah, I mean, WordPress is pretty basic, but I highly encourage Squarespace, too, as an alternative. I think it's a lot more user-friendly, simple. You don't have to deal with the hosting setup thing, and their customer support is really good because they hold it all. It's kind of the whole open source, you know, we accept anything Android, Google way versus the curated, we have to approve everything, make sure it looks good, iOS version of things.
I think we could disagree slightly on those two, but that's okay. I understand your analogy. So Squarespace does kind of a one-stop shop for your entire website.
Yeah, it's just closed. It's closed. Like you can export your stuff later, but it's not open source framework like WordPress is.
Right.
But it's really powerful and really easy.
So when we say WordPress, we're not talking about WordPress.com. We're talking about the free software that you download at WordPress.org and then install it whatever your hosting provider is.
Yeah.
And a lot of hosting providers these days offer
their solution used to be really bad. But they've lately made some improvements to compete with competitors like Squarespace.
I still think poorly of the Wix product, but I haven't actually seen it very, very recently. I saw it just a few months ago.
Yeah.
For shopping and e-commerce.
If you want to do e-commerce, I recommend Shopify. It's expensive, but if you're doing e-commerce, you're getting into a lot and you need a lot of help to promote those contents if you're serious about it. And Shopify provides all these plugins and apps and a lot of really cool tools to help you promote your store.
So if you're on Squarespace, though, are you going to be using Shopify?
You can, actually. Oh, well, no. Shopify is its own hosting, own everything.
And Shopify does have its own e-commerce, which I've not used, but I've heard is pretty solid. So I don't
Squarespace
know.
Squarespace or Shopify?
Squarespace has its own e-commerce built in. So Shopify is like, that's all it is e-commerce, right? You just build a shop on it. Although I know you can do other content pages, but it's mm-hmm. it's primarily all about the shop.
Yeah. So if your focus is e-commerce, definitely take a look at Shopify.
We have a lot of clients using WordPress websites, and when it came to e-commerce, we just went with WooCommerce, which is a free open source plugin.
I've used it too. It has its drawbacks.
Yeah, it's got its drawbacks, but I like the advantage of having full control over it rather than Squarespace or Shopify, where you're hosted by those guys, and so you're limited in a lot of other ways. And so WooCommerce is better in terms of flexibility because you have complete control over the design.
It's too flexible. That's my issue with it. There's too many options, and it has to be compatible with your theme and just all this stuff.
Well, Shopify, these days, you're hard-pressed to find a current theme that doesn't have WooCommerce stuff built in. So it's improved in that regard along the way. But yeah, everybody's going to make different choices depending on what their needs are. So
if e-commerce is a side project for you, I think so. If it's your focus, I think Shopify all the way.
Well, I would disagree completely because you're going to pay a lot more in fees. For example, you don't get to bring your own merchant account. You're going to use Shopify's. Yeah. So you're going to pay a percentage on every transaction that's higher. And
you can bring your own payment processor.
To Shopify? Mm-hmm. Okay, I was under the impression that...
It definitely is more expensive. So that's why if your main focus, I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, Shopify, just with the tools, and you wouldn't believe the apps and things that you can add on to help... help promote your products and increase social engagement, codes that are automatically helping you market your business. It's pretty powerful stuff.
With WooCommerce, you can develop all of your own as needed. So there are lots of them out there. And that's where the WooCommerce ecosystem makes money, is from the add-on products, because the main thing is free. But if you need to custom code a feature, then and you're on Shopify or Squarespace, you're going to ask them for it and they'll do it when they're ready. Whereas with WooCommerce, you can hire a developer and get it done, and you've got your feature and away you go. So different schools of thought.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Let's talk about communications, messaging, all of that sort of good stuff. Of course, we all carry smartphones these days. You guys are both Apple guys, so you drank the Kool-Aid. I'm an Android guy, so we have...
So you drank the poison.
It's Google versus Apple. I don't know. You know, who do I want knowing about me?
Oh, in that case, neither of the above.
Yeah, well, this is why this is why I'm on Android, because I can use a custom ROM like CyanogenMod, and I can lock apps out of private information I don't
Cyanogen,
want them to have.
They raised a bunch of money.
They did, and I found out this week that the news about Microsoft investing was actually not true. Microsoft was not participating in the round.
No, I think the NSA was participating in the round.
Well, here's perhaps even more disturbing. Rupert Murdoch participated in the round.
There you go.
So I am a little nervous about CyanogenMod now, so I'm going to potentially be rethinking about that. But anyway, let's talk about messaging. So what do you guys use? You're sitting at your desk. Something rings. What rings?
Well, it's going to be my iPhone when you talk about ringing.
You're getting an incoming call. It's on your iPhone?
Yes.
Yeah. What about you, Josh?
Well, are we talking about mobile here?
Well, I'm sitting at my desk.
Sitting at
so.
Your desk. So I guess he gave you a couple options.
Well,
there.
I would say if you're using your company-provided phone line, you should stop doing that.
Company-provided what?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, not company provided, but like from Verizon or Comcast. If you're bundling your
phone
internet.
Phone line. You're using a word phone. What is this word you're using?
Yeah, what's the line?
There's
part?
A lot of business. Line. Okay, hold on. There are a lot of people listening to this podcast that have phone lines for their business.
But most people have gone VoIP these days, right?
So. Right, and that's my encouragement is something like Ring Central is extremely powerful, and then it also does text messages.
Yep.
So you can encourage your customers, hey, don't want to call in? Do you want to just shoot us a text? The same admin that you would use to answer phone calls and all this kind of stuff, Ring Central, which also has an iPhone app, of course, allows you to respond to them via text from your business phone line without having to give away your personal cell phone number.
Yep. I do the same thing with Google Voice for free. So I have my main line, if you call so let's back up. For business, if you call our main number, you're going to get Grasshopper. That's what answers our phone. So Grasshopper is an 800 number, or in our case, an 866 number. We've had it for a long time, and it does all of the stuff you would expect. So like when someone dials in, if they press 1 for this department, it'll automatically ring the person or person's phone that you want it to. It'll hunt. So yeah. You can assign multiple people, or it'll just take a message, which yeah. It then emails us, which is great because I don't ever have to log in and go get messages. Faxes are the same way. You dial an incoming fax, goes right to my email, so I don't ever have to deal with faxes, and I don't have a fax machine. Haven't had one in years. So we use that, but when if you call my direct number, the one to my desk, you're going to get Google Voice, which follows me everywhere. I can answer it on my phone. I can answer it on my laptop. I can answer it. I can dial out from Skype. So I don't like to dial out from Google Voice because it's bandwidth issues and a couple of other problems with it. So I actually have Skype out, but I've got it set to be my Google Voice number. So
I have, because there are still companies that use faxes and sometimes contracts, actually signed contracts. People want to have a fax.
I scan them.
That's what I do too. I mean, I have apps on my phone, Genius Scan and Genius Fax, cool. That I use, and they work just fine for it. And so I don't have any hardware at all. Everything is done through my iPhone still.
Okay, so I don't scan through my phone. I actually have a scanner.
I scan with my phone.
Cool. And yeah, the faxes work out okay?
Yeah, everybody's happy with awesome. Them.
Yeah, that's good stuff. What do you use for?
That was from my son.
So these days, all of us are getting overwhelmed with email, right? And I have come to truly hate email as a business communication tool. I think it's just terrible. We still have to deal with it in terms of our customers, for the most part.
Why is it terrible as a business communication tool as opposed to a phone call?
No, that's even worse.
Right.
So email is nice because it's asynchronous. You know, you can send me a message and I can respond sometime later.
Exactly.
But
it's an on-demand conversation.
Okay, let's look at the thread of our dialogue. How hard is that for me to find, right? We've been having a conversation about some project, you and me.
Right.
And I've got to go dig through reams and reams of emails.
Okay, so MacMail has done something interesting in that respect in that it actually bundles those all together for you. And you can unbundle them if you prefer the old way.
You're talking about threaded conversations, uh-huh. Like the way Gmail does it.
I don't know. I don't use Gmail.
Well,
that's how Gmail does it.
Google Apps. So I've already got threaded conversations, okay. But the problem is we might be having a conversation, but we have multiple threads because it's been going. So what we've done internally, originally we were using Basecamp, which we used as a productivity project management kind of tool, and that reduced our email internally greatly. But more recently, we've switched to Slack.
Slack.
Yes, I love Slack too. Thanks for the introduction.
You're welcome.
Because as soon as I started using it from your recommendation, I got others using it now too. And other people that I work with and have a team effort with use Slack.
I waste so much less time because
truly,
I just send short messages to people. I don't craft this elaborate email. You know, I mean, obviously, if you're speaking to customers, sometimes it makes sense.
And you know, you can drop documents into it. You can share stuff.
So easy.
It's live if you're all there at the same time. Basically,
right.
You can do it live, but you can do it on demand too. I love it. The only thing is that sometimes I wish there was a button that I could use where people say, just use this.
Oh, please.
Because getting them started on Slack was a bit because none of them had heard of it. And so they kept responding back and forth in email. And I kept going, no, use this. Now they got it.
So now
I've
got
cool.
One place. So like with us, with the Growth Show, we have our own Slack team. Mm-hmm. And the three of us are signed in. And we everything that we do from planning our shows to guests to conversations about marketing or whatever else we've got going on. We've got little channels for all of this. So
and the best part is you tag. So let's say there's a group. We're talking about marketing the podcast, for example, marketing channels, which I think we have a group for that.
Already. We do. Yep.
So you base things on subjects. You have little channels in there. And then you name the people that it's directed at. So if I'm saying something specifically to Rod, I would name his username, do @RodThompson.
And ding, Rod gets a notification.
Notification. Right. David does not.
Right. Do you use the mobile Slack app?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. What Absolutely. About the desktop client? Because I now like they just announced this week they've announced a Windows version. I haven't installed it.
I've heard it's pretty buggy.
I just am using it in the browser.
Is it working well?
Oh yeah,
in the browser.
Yeah.
I use the Apple version.
Oh, you do this. You've got it installed.
Yes. I do too.
Cool.
I have it installed. That's what I'm looking at right here.
It's okay.
Especially when you have multiple teams, it's the best way to go.
And well, I have
four, between,
four Slack
you
groups
see,
I'm part of.
You have little boxes on the side that allow you to switch between teams. Simple click.
So
click,
right now
click.
I'm only on two teams and I keep them pinned tabs in Chrome.
Right.
So like
right. This is better.
Yeah. Oh, well, maybe. All right. That's cool.
I mean, it's better if it's not buggy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so what do you guys use? You're on a phone call. You're meeting with a client. What do you use for your notes, taking notes?
Oh. I just use the Notes app on my Mac.
Yeah, I use
a
Word doc.
Oh, Word doc.
I use a Word doc. I do because.
Wait, you what?
Yeah. For me to take notes while I'm talking to a client. Yeah.
Oh.
If they're for myself, yeah. Because that's what I'm perfectly comfortable. I use that. I don't give it any thought. It's like talking to you guys.
The notes app, it automatically syncs to your phone
yeah.
and your Mac computer so that as soon as you write a note, it's in both places. I have found that
I rarely need, I'm talking about I'm using my laptop when I'm taking the notes. I rarely use because I do not like reading any significant amount of material on my iPhone.
I certainly don't want to take notes on my phone. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. If I were taking notes on my phone, it would be in the notes app.
Right, but it's there if you need it. It's not stuck in some folder in your desktop.
Okay, that's what Dropbox is for.
So here's how I solve that.
Oh, that's good that you did that.
I use...
Thank you, Josh. That wasn't at all condescending.
That's a good decision.
I use something called Simple Note, and it's a free service. It's provided by Automattic. They bought the company, so same people that make WordPress. And it's free. It's web-based, so you go to app.simplenote.com or just simplenote.com. You sign in, create an account. You don't have to create an account, though, and so there's a mobile app. I use it on my phone, on my Android device. They have certainly an iOS version as well. And you can take notes anywhere. So you do it in the web or you do it on your device and it syncs across the board. So I think it's kind of a competitor to the Notes app in that sense. But it's completely searchable. You can tag your notes. So I love it because I'm always in sync everywhere on my notes.
Good job.
Yeah. So I like that a lot. What do you use when it comes to tracking your tasks and to-dos and your personal productivity and that sort of stuff?
I used Highrise.
Yeah, I did too.
Uh-huh. And that's still there. I'm between apps
okay.
on that particular issue because I'm not thrilled with Highrise and I haven't found something that...
I dumped Highrise when they sold it.
I tried a number after that and none of them are jumping to mind now. Didn't like any of them. So I'm just sitting here waiting for a better suitor, basically.
So let's talk about what Highrise is for those who don't know. It's actually a CRM for small business. It's fantastic for great small teams. You can track your customers and your projects and opportunities and all that sort of mm-hmm. stuff. It's not project management. That's not accurate. But
it's made by the guys at 37 Signals,
right? It was made by 37 Signals. They sold it. And that's when I dumped it because I had a really great CRM that I had purchased and paid great money for, which was Infusionsoft. And I was still using Highrise because we used it internally with our team and it was hard to get everybody to move. So I dumped Highrise when they sold it and kind of forced everybody to switch. But in terms of productivity, I'm using Wunderlist. W-U-N-D-E-R, like yeah. Wunder? Yeah. Wunderlist.
Yeah. Wunderlist.
It's similar to what we were talking about with notes. It syncs across everything. So I have a tab open in my Chrome. And then, you can put your to-dos into nice little folders and whatever else and then check things off. It makes a nice, big, satisfying ding every time you check something off.
Yeah, my wife does. She tried inviting me to some groups and I haven't joined.
On Wunderlist?
Yeah.
So, like, we do
I'm pretty sure that's not a good idea to ignore your
to
wife's
join those?
Invitations.
Here's what I always hated.
You can ignore any invitations you want except your wife's invitations. I just don't have the app on the phone.
I haven't been using it. Okay.
So, you know what I hated was my wife would send me to the store with a list and it would be on paper or some ungodly
right.
thing like that.
Right.
And then she would... She would text me and say, oh, I forgot to add, whatever. And I'm like, all right.
Seriously, dear?
I've got multiple things going here. You want me to pay attention to the thing on my phone and pay attention to the paper? So I was using Google Keep for a while, which has a nice little checkbox thing.
Right.
And it was integrated with Google Apps and all that. But Wunderlist is so much better. So now we can share the grocery notes, right. or grocery, not notes, but grocery lists. And she can add something to it, and it shows up on my device. And I don't have to...
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm not a big list guy, but I've heard good things about Wunderlist.
I didn't use list for a long time, but I kind of have gotten back to it because I was dropping some stuff. And okay.
I might look at that because I don't have a good system for that right now. I will tell you on shopping, and then I know we are wrapping up, but on shopping... I get so bad because you can't go to a grocery store. If your wife says, we need to pick up some cayenne pepper. So you find the spices. There's 18 kinds of cayenne pepper. You know you're going to get the wrong one.
Oh, invariably.
You know you're going to get the wrong one. So I will put her on video and I will walk it. I will say, look at these.
Oh, yeah.
Please tell me which one to bring home, dear.
If you see a guy in the spice aisle playing videos on his phone, he's not watching YouTube.
Exactly.
It's just Rod buying the correct
Yeah, you have the same problem I do.
Hey, that's actually not bad.
I'm not efficient at shopping.
I've had her text me photos. Like, text me a photo of the label or something, and that works. Not for cayenne pepper, because...
Well, that was just an example. It's like, pick your food. There's always too many options.
Oh, it's true. There's a lot of options out there.
Of everything. everything.
All right. So have we missed a tool that you're using in your business that you like?
Email. We got to say Google Apps for calendar.
You had
and
to
all
go
that
there,
kind of
didn't
stuff,
you? So. Yeah. Google Apps for contacts, calendar management. Yeah. Ryan, you're not a Google Apps guy. What are you using for your email?
I use iCalendar. I know.
For email.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'd say for calendar, for my contacts and everything. For email, I'd use MacMail.
MacMail.
Yeah.
Wait, is that a McDonald's product, MacMail?
I was talking about for like organizations.
Teams?
For teams.
So like
if you need teams, at yourdomain.com.
I used to use Exchange Server, and we actually ran our own Exchange Server in-house for a number of years. That was a pain. Then we got it hosted, and then I made took the plunge and switched to...
$5 per month per user. Pretty simple.
So it's a better deal than most of the other ones out there.
And there's so many integrations that go with it. You're adding more and more tools to your small business... Odds are there's an integration between that and Google Apps.
All right. So. If you have questions about something you heard about today, let's hear them from you. You can find us on the web at thegrowthshow.com. This is episode 10, so just hit thegrowthshow.com/010. And you can find our esteemed contributors online. Rod, you're blogging where? No, you're not blogging right now.
I'm not blogging right now.
But you can find Rod on Twitter at Rod_Thompson on Twitter. And Rod Thompson, by the way, just have to say it, there's no P in Thompson. But you can find Rod Thompson's PR and messaging business at thompsonpr.com.
Yep.
And there is a P in PR, which we always say, but not in Thompson.
That's it.
Josh is blogging at joshmuccio.com, which is joshmuccio.com.
Yeah, I haven't been blogging there for a while. Just come say hi to me on Twitter.
He's at Josh Muccio. So we want to hear from you. You can tweet us at The Growth Show. You can find me online at The David Johnson, because I'm the one you know. There's so many David Johnsons in the world.
There are a lot of them.
I'm the
but
one
there's
you
only
know.
One, The David Johnson.
The David Johnson, and you can also find me at thedavidjohnson.com.
Shopify. Shopify.
Are we pushing Shopify now? What? All right. So if you want to find any of the tools we mentioned, you can find them all in today's show notes. Tons of those. We'd love to hear from you. Tweet us, message us, comment. We look forward to interacting with you in all of those ways, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Grow the Dream Show. We invite you to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast app. Get connected to our growing community, add your comments, ask questions, and listen to the archives on the web at growthedream.com/show.